Welcome to the Your Voice podcast, brought to you by ebodyguard.org and the eBodyguard app, available wherever you buy apps. Your Voice is a podcast empowering women to become a victor over victimization. We're changing the conversation about domestic violence and victims of trauma in America. This is Your Voice with hosts Melissa Faith Hart and Melissa Moore.
Well, welcome back. I'm Melissa Moore along with Melissa Faith Hart. It is episode 2 of Your Voice, talking about domestic violence, talking about changing the conversation and how we look at survivors and how we talk about surviving and other trauma. And we were just talking with Melissa Faith Hart on episode 1 about her own trials and her own dealings with abuse, with rape in her 20s, how she got through it, and also what she has been doing and really changing things in the world we live in. Her latest project is eBodyguard. It is an app that can protect you. And by yelling something as simple as eBodyguard now, it will trigger that app to start recording, call 911, and then also call the contacts on your list. It is an incredible app. But Melissa, I really wanted to talk to you and kind of pick up our story because you have a mantra about going from victim to visionary.
Yes. That obviously came out of pain at some point. It did. I believe that every day I make a choice to decide if I'm going to be a victim of that moment, a victor over that moment, or a visionary in my life. And I want people to know they get to make that choice too. Oftentimes we feel like life just happened to us or that circumstance just happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe truly that with the story we just shared about what has happened in my own life, that we all get to choose. That's the power that we have. We all get to choose how we're going to look at our moments. And the beauty about our choice is that I get to choose, well, what do I get to do about it? And so being with that choice at 17 years old, I made a decision. I am going to not allow the past to define my future. I am going to now learn the best I can to be the best me possible. And then with that, I'm going to give the best me possible to the world. That is what I felt called to do.
At 17.
Period. At 17. And that means I have to grow daily. And it's hard. Sometimes it's so hard. I'm not perfect at this. It's not an easy road. Like, I could sit here and tell you, oh yeah, I was really successful in corporate America and look at me now, I'm a CEO and I have this down. Boy, that would be a lie. What I am telling you is that I get up every day and I make a choice every day and I decide at every moment, okay, I can keep doing this. And when it's hard, I have to look for the moments when I need support. I reach out to my friends and I say, I can keep going.
Does it help having this tool to give back to get through those tough moments, knowing that you are making changes? You are on this path that's been laid out in front of you with some really crappy things on it.
I think purpose at the end of the day defines me. Again, I'm speaking for myself, right? I think the fact that I know I'm purposed, and I think if everyone knows that they're purposed, it defines me that I have a reason for what the bad things that happened to me, right? So it's all going to matter in the end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it can get really hard at times, even as being a CEO. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Like,
so if I remember in the moments that come that are hard, the circumstances that are hard. If I remember, and I remember this one time during Colorado criminal e-discovery, oh my God, I wanted to quit. But then I thought about like these children and I thought about these women that like would not get help if I didn't keep going. And I just said, no, Melissa, you are going to pick yourself up right now and you're going to wipe these tears off your face and you're going to keep your positive attitude and you're going to keep moving now. And it's sometimes it's moments like that, right? Mm-hmm. When you're up against it and your circumstances seem to be bigger than your purpose. That's when you know that you have to remind yourself that you will not be overcome by those circumstances.
It's a big lesson. And I love what you just said, when that mountain in front of you to climb is bigger and it feels bigger than your purpose, it doesn't mean that it is. What did it take in you? Because I find it fascinating that you went through so much pain and so many unspeakable things that you didn't give up.
I used to climb the Manitou incline.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes 3 times a week for 3 years. And it taught me a life lesson when I did that. And as I climbed it, I never looked at the top of the mountain, because if I did, it would overwhelm me and I would want to give up at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
What I did do was I looked at the next step and I just took the next step. And somehow I always made it to the top. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because people used to think I was addicted to climbing the Manitou incline, but I wasn't. It was about the dedication of just making the next step. And I think for us that have, you know, that need to know that we can just, you know, get through life sometimes and make that next step, it really is just getting that next step accomplished. Just take the next step. Just take that next step. And sometimes it really is just the next moment.
Right.
Getting through the next moment. Because sometimes that's all the strength you have. And if you just get through that next moment, thank God. I mean, that's it. That's all we need, is just get through the next moment. Because my God, when you compare yourself against everybody else, that is a losing game. Stop the comparison. It's about you taking your next step. That's what your life's about.
And I think that is such a huge message for men and women listening to your story. And we've covered the corporate part. We've covered, you know, obviously not in detail, but the abuse part. And they're like, how do I get through this? How do I get through the fact that maybe they're part of that 98% where the rapist never sees a courtroom.
Right.
And they're now having to live with it. How do I get through it? And you're saying one step at a time and find your purpose, which I think is so hard to do when you're in the moment and you're hurt and you're broken and you're just trying to survive and you're just trying to wake up the next day and go to work.
But that's enough. That's it. That's enough sometimes.
Just showing up, just show up. Because I think that's, you know, as we've gone through this year of Me Too, and so many women are coming out saying, I was assaulted, I was verbally abused, I was whatever it may be. And women are going, oh my gosh, so was I. And I've just kind of filed it in the back, but you still deal with parts of it.
Mm.
And I think that's a conversation too of, as women, we're just taught to deal with it. Move on, deal with it. This is part of how it is.
Yeah. And I think what's happening with us women, because there's been 2,000 years or more, I mean, let's face it,
yeah,
of this less than or hierarchical approach from the male to the female, and we're just to deal with it. And even when I was at corporate America, I made 80% less than the other males, yeah, in my position. I was at a domestic violence panel just 2 months ago where I heard women saying, down with the patriarch. And I have to say that in changing the conversation, which is one of our taglines here,
mm-hmm,
that is not my approach. My approach is a little different. And I've done a lot of personal healing. I've had EMDR. I think, mm-hmm, we've talked about that.
Yep.
You've had EMDR.
Explain that really quick.
What
that stands for.
It's an eye movement desensitization reprocessing, where it's, I mean, literally rewiring of our brains.
Yes, that is the best way to put it. You can definitely Google it. And it's basically where triggers don't trigger you as much.
Right.
That's kind of the easiest way I can explain it.
And so I have a different view. I believe that instead of equality, we need mutuality. And instead of down with the patriarch, you know, why would we promote that message? Because aren't we just replacing them then?
I love that.
Because
I've never heard anybody say it so eloquently. I love that.
We need to heal the gender gap in order for us as females to come in after the males have wounded us, really, from generation after generation, where we probably have it DNA, even in our DNA, these pain bodies is mm-hmm. what they're finding out.
Right. Pain is in the body.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to, because otherwise we're telling our sons, our brothers, our husbands that, you know what, if we had an all-women Senate, that would be great. Well, then where would our sons and our husbands and our fathers and where would they be? And what role do they have? We have to learn this new conversation, which is, how do we mutually exist in harmony? How do we have this shared conversation? And trust me, I have pain from that gender. I do. But if I don't have forgiveness and I don't have understanding, where does blame and shame really actually have a place if I actually have healing? Really? Okay.
Tell me the difference, because we just said it. There's a difference between equality and mutuality.
Right.
And you just explained it a little bit, but tell me exactly, what does that mean? Because you hear more messages of down with the patriarch.
Right.
And you hear more message of, we just want to be equal.
Right.
What is that difference?
So I don't have to be the same, right, in order to honor that we're both mutually important.
Mm.
Right.
Which to me is that definition of that true partnership.
Will I ever do 20 pull-ups? No. But I need a man in my life let's say it this way, because some women say, do I need a man in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They say it just like that.
Right. Right? Well, and when they've been hurt,
right,
it becomes even angrier.
Very angry.
And rightfully so. I'm not saying it's not. I completely understand the anger towards the male species when you've been injured by a man.
And men can be angry at women.
Absolutely.
Because we have hurt them out of our own anger.
Yeah.
And our own pain.
It's a cycle. It is
it's
a vicious cycle.
It's an absolute cycle.
Absolutely.
So let's get honest about this. Here's the honesty about it. At the end of the day, if I get my healing or men get their healing, there is a place for mutual respect. And that's what I'm talking about. They can hold a place for me and I can hold a place for them.
So it truly is about holding space for each other, but not having to be equal.
Exactly.
Because I think there is such a huge difference between men and women. And sometimes it makes women feel less than.
Of course.
That equal world or word. And I get it, because money hasn't been equal.
Oh.
There are things in this mutuality that I would think need to be equal, and money needs to be one of them. Why should you and I have the same exact resume and you make more just because you're a man? Now, that doesn't feel very mutual and very respectful, which I would probably say you agree with.
Exactly. Here's where I'm headed. By the year 2030, 60% of the females in this country will be making more than the men in this country. That being said, I think it's very important that we have the right leadership, because if we as 60% of the nation are leading with anger, where will we be?
It's a bad cycle all over again.
Right.
I completely agree with you on this one. And I think this whole conversation about mutuality and respect, I mean, it all ties into the bigger picture we're talking about today. Women have been objectified.
Yes.
Women have been taught that what they say doesn't matter.
Yes.
Women have been taught that they can be tough and they need to be tough and to move on.
And so what are we going to do? Squash their voice in return?
And for somebody like you who has come through so much harm from men,
yeah,
to be able to say that, I think is a huge and powerful statement. Because you could be very different. You could be very bitter. You could be very angry. You could be like, you know what? Hit this button on the app and it blows up the man. Hear you, you know, there you go. We're done.
I could be,
but you're not. You're saying, let justice prevail. Let us help you seek the right route.
And that comes from my deep heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, when you ask me, what do you want to see happen out of this?
Yeah.
I truly want freedom for everyone. I do. I want people to see that they can be free. I want them to know the deepest part of them, they can get their freedom.
And I think women who have been in an abusive relationship, whether they've moved on from that into a healthy one or not, struggle with finding that freedom.
Of course.
It always feels like there's strings attached. It always feels like you can't be too free because what if something else happens?
That's the fear that they hear, right?
Right. That is right. The fear that is guiding those decisions. And so I'm wondering with the app, the eBodyguard app, if that can take away some of that fear and stress, knowing that you almost kind of have a friend in your pocket that's watching out for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate, it's one of those things where I love that you created it and I hate that we have to have it.
Yeah, of course.
Does that make sense?
Me too. Trust me.
And I think that's what's so hard to hear about it. But I had a family member go through an awful attack just months ago. And I wish she would have had this because she's now stuck in the he said, she said. And we're in 2020.
I'm sorry.
And it didn't matter that she was bruised and broken and everything else. Did not matter. And so I say that as a big sister, as a mom, that this is important. And it's an important conversation to have with your kids. And it's an important conversation to have with your girlfriends. Like that, things that are not okay. I mean, we could go on and on about things that are not okay in relationships and what that looks like and why you shouldn't allow it, because that can lead to this. It's a big conversation.
It was a big conversation. Yeah. It is a big conversation.
Right. Which is why we have your voice changing the conversation, because it's going to be many weeks. Melissa Faith Hart is going to be here. I will be here and talking to different people about domestic violence and what that looks like. And what is your hope for this podcast?
My hope is that we continue to bring on other folks that can provide their voice and that we can learn and that we can hear others that can encourage everyone out there to, if they can hear one bit of truth that can give them that enablement to say, that's it. That's it. I'm fighting for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm doing it. Because I know that during those times that I needed the permission to give to myself to say, right. You know what? No more. No more of this.
Would it have helped you 20 years ago to have heard from other women, you will get through this one step at a time, to have heard somebody else's story and know that there was hope?
Absolutely. I felt oftentimes that my world was spiraling around me. And it was not going to stop spiraling. So as successful as I became in the corporate world, there were days when I would show up at that very same restaurant that the detective called me at after the rape, when I couldn't make it through a shift. Multiple days. Mm-hmm. I'd cry and they'd have to send me home.
I think it's good for other people to hear too, that look, you can have this pain and you can walk through it and feel the feelings and come out the other side and still have painful days. But you're still moving on. You're still moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it can be really bad. It can be heart-wrenching and some of the loneliest moments. And you don't know if you will survive it. You will feel that way. And that's normal. That's what I want to encourage. That's normal. You are normal to feel that way. It won't overcome you.
And I think that's what people need to hear who are listening, who are going through a situation in their life that feels like there's no end to the pain.
I think one of the things I did for myself during those painful moments is I would look myself in the mirror. And if it was at that moment, I would say, this is the worst the pain's going to be. Tomorrow will be better. And that's how I got through.
And now here you are 20 some years later, having had that vision of making a change, and you've done it and you're still doing it, but it's not over. There has to be some good feelings around that.
Yeah. Good feelings, I would say, would not encapsulate how I feel. I think the drive to stop the insanity probably drives me more than the pats on the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the pain of what that is. There's this drive in me to make sure that we get the opportunity for people to know that they at least have the choice, right? Mm-hmm. To have this protection.
We're going to end with this, but I want to know, and this may be a hard one for you, if you could go back and tell that girl, that 20-something girl, if you could give her some advice as she's broken and hurting, and she's just been through this awful, awful domestic violence, rape situation, what would you tell her?
I got you. You're not going to fall apart. And we're going to get through this. But I got you.
Hopefully someone listening right now who needed to hear it, I have a feeling, just heard it. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Melissa Moore. It is Your Voice. We're changing the conversation around the way we look at domestic violence and the victims in our world today. You're going to be hearing a lot more in the upcoming weeks, but just know that there is help out there for you. Don't give up. Think of the Manitou. I'm going to be thinking of that incline now all the time. Next step. What is that next step for you? And know, too, that there is help and protection and that things are changing. We're going to change things. We have to.
For more information on domestic violence and trauma issues, visit ebodyguard.org. The eBodyguard app is available at the Apple Store and Google Play. For help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the domestic violence hotline can be reached at 1-800-799-SAFE.
Your Voice podcast is presented by the Public Affairs and News Department of Bonneville, Denver. Thank you for listening.